This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode number 98 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, and I'm joined alongside Brooklyn Jackson once more and a very special guest host who I'll talk about here very shortly. It is getting closer to the holiday season, and yes, we're getting even closer to episode 100, so super exciting times as we get towards our centennial anniversary, if you will. It's exciting. It's kind of making me feel a little old, but that's okay. But we're not going to feel quite old because we have a really young show for this episode, because our very first guest from episode one and many times before, she's probably our most frequent guest besides Jeff Gordon and Kyle Larson, she's back, and it's Brianna O'Leary from Texas, a real Texan unlike me. So the Lone Star State's representing quite well. Sorry, Arkansas, but Texas is how we do things on TPF Live. But of course, when I say Arkansas, that would be Brooklyn Jackson. And even though it's the off-season, folks, we have a lot to talk about, because last week we had a test session at Phoenix Raceway. We also had an Xfinity exchange, if you will, in terms of drivers. And of course, a certain champion said that NASCAR fans are spoiled. Are they? We'll talk about that, and also hear what Brianna's been up to since the start of this year. So with that, ladies first, of course. So Brooklyn's here, Brianna's here. So you ladies, how are you guys doing this evening?
I am good. I'm good. I have no complaints.
I'm doing good, too. I can't complain either. It's been a good start to the week.
I love it. It's because, you know, it's not Monday recording this, it's Tuesday, which almost feels like Friday at this point, so let's just get to it, you know? And of course, Brianna, if you folks can't see, which we might do some clips, I don't know, Brianna's got a really cool San Francisco 49ers shirt on, and that's great because they're the one team out of any of us that's actually doing good, because I can't talk about the Patriots, they are awful. And I don't know who, I would assume Brooklyn's a Kansas City fan, I don't know.
I'm not the biggest. I don't really follow football. I'm learning football. I'm in the process of learning football.
Is it because of Tay Tay?
I wish I could deny that, but you know, I have no shame in not denying that.
I have three Taylor Swift Kansas City Chiefs apparel. Like, I have a sweater and a couple t-shirts, so I'm right there with you.
I love it. One of my favorite fun facts is I was actually at the Eras Tour the same night as Travis, my friend, and I were. I know,
I'm so jealous.
I know, we didn't obviously get to meet him or like see him, but yeah,
look at that, folks. See, we're hitting the right demographics. We're hitting the Tay Tay and Kelsey fans here on TPF Live. So sorry, Nathan Solomon, you know, you're the regular co-host. We booted you. Now you're coming back at some point. He's been busy, folks, with his school studies and being a really diligent senior. And I graduated, so I get to have fun. Look at that, folks. I don't really have a lot of fun. I have fun. Different kind of fun. But anyways, you're here to hear from Brianna. You're here to listen to Brooklyn, and maybe don't listen to me. But you should listen to me about our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com, because they're really cool, and I should tell you why you should shop there right now. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest and greatest in diecast cars? Head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com to get the latest offerings in Lionel Racing, NASCAR collectibles, IndyCar collectibles from Greenlight Collectibles, and much more. If you spend $20 or more in-stock or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping with promo code TPF. So head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com, spend $20 or more, and use promo code TPF to get free shipping and 5% off your order. Evan and his team get those orders out fast in lightning speed fashion. A proud sponsor of TPF Live. Yes, indeed, folks. Use promo code TPF. It's awesome. And yes, it might be getting close to getting those items arriving on time for Christmas, but hey, you don't have to tell your loved one that it's late. Just say the effort was there, right? And you save some money, you get free shipping, and you could spend up to $20 or more, and you're going to be saving some money. Still take your girlfriend out to dinner, to Red Lobster or something. I don't know. Maybe not Red Lobster. I don't know. I don't eat seafood. I'm kind of random right now. But anyways, SpoilerDiecast.com, that's where it's at. Support them. You support us. Give us some money. We can go to races, and you can save some money to get some diecast cars. Like me, in this room right now. So yes, awesome stuff. Anyways, why don't we get to it right now, folks, with Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Now, last week, which would be basically the beginning of December, we had a test session at Phoenix Raceway, which my understanding of it, and I'm sure Brianna can chime in, and I'm sure Brooklyn can too, my understanding of this test was to try to improve upon the package at the short tracks, because admittedly in the Cup side of things, it was okay, right? It wasn't the greatest racing, but we're trying to see if we can eliminate shifting, try to bring the action a little bit more closer together for side-by-side racing, and a little bit less doldrum at tracks like Phoenix or Martinsville or even a place like New Hampshire or Richmond Raceway for that matter. And it seemed like the reaction that I saw on social media from the few outlets that were at the test, it's okay. It wasn't the greatest success, but, you know, they got some data. That's all I know. I mean, it's hard to gauge how seven cars fare on a racetrack versus a field of 40, but Brianna, of course, is part of many teams in NASCAR and has been around the sport as a legitimate crew member and like me as a journalist, so you have a unique perspective on this, and then we'll hear from Brooklyn. But Brianna, I'm sure you had some friends or some folks that were at the test. What was your impression of what was gained or possibly learned at Phoenix last week?
So I'm going to be so honest with you guys. When it comes to off season, I almost disconnect from NASCAR just because the season is so long. And when I get to, you know, have downtime, I'm off running and ripping and doing all the things that I don't get to do during the season. So I just think that when it comes to NASCAR testing, whether things went well or whether things went, you know, not as well or whatever, you have to applaud NASCAR for going out and testing, right? Because if you don't, you never know, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you have to give it a chance out there besides using iRacing or simulators the OEMs have, and they had to try. And it seemed like there were some promising developments, and yet there were still some things that, you know, they didn't get to try out because it was either deemed a waste of time or wasn't going to efficiently make the use of the times of the teams out in the West Coast after going to Nashville for the award show. And then they were supposed to be in the off season. And, oh yeah, let's go bring some teams out to Avondale to do some testing, which a lot of folks, like you said, they want to deplug like you and just say, hey, we've done 10 months of this stuff. Let's just recharge a little bit. But I'll be curious to see if there's any adjustments, tests, you know, once we get towards 2024, which is next month. So it's going to be interesting to see. But Brooklyn, I know you probably caught a bit of it. I know you saw the new looking Camry and all of that. I mean, what's your thoughts? I know we're not all the most mechanical, nuanced people on this particular part of the segment, but just curious what you thought of the test.
Yeah, I definitely relate a bit to Kyle Larson on that front, like maybe like S-Cliff. But I definitely, like y'all, I think it is definitely, I totally agree with what you said. It is for sure hard to gauge, like with seven cars, right? But I definitely like to see them out there testing, you know, working on it, because that's what it takes. I mean, you can't, it's a process. I mean, you can't just have perfection overnight.
As Nathan would always like to say on this show, which I sometimes want to crush my water bottle when he says it, the Great Wall of China wasn't built overnight, I guess, whatever that means. But anyways, We have to figure out what the next gen car is capable of, because we know it's great on intermediates and people love the Super Speedway package, and the road courses, well, I actually thought the car was built to be great at road courses, and it varies. I mean, Coda, it's always interesting. Sonoma is its own different beast, and you could go on. I mean, the Chicago Street Course race was interesting, to say the least, even if the rain hadn't happened. But it's a challenging time for NASCAR teams, to say the least, because they're constantly trying to get the product to be perfect or better. But nevertheless, that's where we're at with things right now. Perhaps the other thing we haven't talked about on the podcast is actually the TV deal, because that's a big big news story for sure. So this isn't totally brand new news that we're talking about and putting perspectives, but let's not forget that starting in 2025, we know the NASCAR Xfinity Series is going to be airing on the CW exclusively. And then, of course, the Truck Series will remain as a Fox/FS1 type of series. Now, this is where it gets fun, folks, with the Cup Series, because the first 14 races are going to remain on Fox and FS1. And then the next 5 races go to Amazon Prime. And then the next 5 races go on to TNT. And then the remaining 14 races go to NBC and USA, which I know folks have complained to me and said, I'm losing track as to what channel these Cup races are going to be in 2025. I assure you, it's not as bad as it was when I was a kid. But it's an exciting time to know that we're going to try to do streaming for NASCAR Cup races. So again, we'll start with Brianne and then with Brooklyn. I'm sure this news you heard about before we got into the offseason about the TV package for next couple of years from now. Well, next year, really, when people listen to the show in earnest. So what do you think of these new partners, Brianna, like of NASCAR trying to go to Amazon Prime and then going back to an old partner in TNT?
Yeah, I definitely related it to Kyle Larson on that front, like maybe like S-Cliff. But I definitely, like y'all, I think it is definitely, I totally agree with what you said. It is for sure hard to gauge, like with 7 cars, right? But I definitely like to see them out there testing, you know, working on it, because that's what it takes. I mean, you can't, it's a process. I mean, you can't just have perfection overnight. I also like it. I think it's exciting. I think it will bring in a new demographic, just because a different demographic is using streaming, right? Like one of my friends, since I got to cover my first race at Kansas City, and I was telling her about it, and she was just asking like how I went, like did you have fun, like all this stuff. But then I started talking to her about like some of the racing stuff, and she was like, I'm going to have to start like learning this. Like, why did he do that? Like, do they not like each other? Like, are they friends and all this stuff? And so I think you'll get more of that, like if you do have more exposure, like on streaming and going back to TNT and that kind of thing.
The thing I think I'm interested by this whole situation is that the NASCAR Xfinity Series is strictly going to be a CW airing series, and that's a great channel to have the Xfinity Series on, because in my opinion that's where a lot of the younger fans are going to watch their, you know, their favorite drama shows or reality shows. I mean, I haven't watched the CW since Veronica Mars, to be honest, so I'm kind of not the right person to talk about it. I reveal a little bit too much information, I know, but there's a lot of folks who probably like, you know, whatever shows on there that's like about Superman or I don't know what teen fantasy vampire shows on CW these days. But hey, that's cool, and who knows, maybe they'll have reality shows about what goes on in Xfinity that follows like the drivers or pit crew members. So yeah, Brianna, they might follow you one day, I don't know, but there you go, they can see what you're up to. And that I think would be so cool. Like, each series has its own identity now, because you think about it, the Truck Series is going to remain on Fox, and FS1, so you have that crowd that likes to, you know, watch Skip Bayless debating endlessly, and then all of a sudden you see the Truck Series with Michael Waltrip and Jamie Little and whoever the other host, Phil Parsons, is on there. And then the Cup Series, it's anybody's guess. I have no idea who the announcers will be by that point, but as someone who watches Prime religiously, I think it's super cool that we're going to actually have cup races on there, and we have to kind of get with the times. So I'm excited about this, not just from the telecast side, but the content side. And we also know that NASCAR opened up a new production studio, I believe in Concord, last week as well. State-of-the-art venue that they can do remote telecast from. So just NASCAR is really investing in its future with content and trying to deliver the best production. And I think it's going to go beyond telecast. It could be, like I've been telling folks, what brings you back to NASCAR? Some folks like the NASCAR, the cars. Personally, for me, I love the people. So if you bring the people in to learn about the characters and the personalities, they may become car fanatics in the future. I don't know. But I think it's going to be cool to watch, to say the least. One thing we know for sure is the Xfinity Series has been pretty popping lately, because for JD Motorsports for next year, they have Dawson Cram that will be driving their car full time. And it's a neat story because Dawson Cram was actually a crew member for them not long ago. I think during the COVID pandemic, return to NASCAR action, Dawson was just a crew member, just working on the cars. And sure enough, years later, you know, he did any opportunity he could get in the top three series. And it's been rewarded with him driving for this team. I know they're not the same JD Motorsports as they were in the mid-2010s to before the COVID pandemic, but it's a full-time opportunity nevertheless. So we'll start with Brooklyn and then go to Brianna. I mean, what do you think of this opportunity for this young man who was once turning the wrenches, is now going to be the one telling the team, hey, turn the wrench this way to make my car faster?
I think it's awesome. I think he can have a unique perspective kind of from both sides. So maybe he can kind of speak their language, get in there, like have good communication with the crew and everybody he does need to have good communication with. So I think it'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. I think Dawson Cram is one of those drivers who is going to make the best of whatever equipment he's in. And so I think him having like a full-time ride and having that consistency, right? You know who you're working with and, you know, driving for, and who's building your cars every single weekend. And I think that's huge. And so I think, you know, him getting to sit still and be in one place for a full season will be good.
And that's a unique perspective because he knows what it takes for those cars to be built. He may have a more unique perspective on like, okay, I'm not having the greatest day. I'm running like 27th and I'm three laps down, but let's try to finish 27th and remain in this position so we can bring this car back for Kansas or for Texas, whatever race is coming up. So it's just really cool to see that because we've seen drivers who've kind of shuffled around in different roles to finally get their full-time opportunity. In fact, Nathan Solomon wrote a piece about Ryan Ellis, who, as you know, folks, not long ago, he was just a PR guy for Matt DiBenedetto before at Go Fast Racing. And now he's going to race full-time for Alpha Prime Racing next year. And that's Bree's team, of course, that she's been with this season, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And Ryan Ellis is going to be driving full-time for that team, which I think is so cool. I'm going to put you on the spotlight, Bree. I know the answer offhand, but just to entertain folks, have you ever thought about turning the wheel in a stock car?
Literally never. Thought has never crossed my mind. I don't want to. I do not have a need for speed. I've driven and I've raced go-karts at what is now Trackhouse Motorplex. And those went fast enough for me, maybe too fast. So.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. I mean, I would argue that even going 40 in my Ford Explorer is fast enough for me. So I'll leave it up to the professionals to go five times that speed. and you don't want an old driver like me on the road. No kidding. I'm a pretty decent driver, but it's cool to see Dawson Cram with that opportunity. And hopefully that little team from Gaffney, South Carolina has some good things happening to them in 2024. And the other news in the Xfinity series, finally, we get some clarification as to what my buddy AJ Allmendinger is going to be doing next year, because we know he's with College Racing. We know that he's often said, I'll do whatever the team asks me to do. And it seems like the team wants him to go back to full-time competition in the Xfinity series. Now, we don't know what car number that's going to be yet. We don't know the sponsor, but we just know he's back in Xfinity full-time next year or next month. And he'll also do part-time competition still. We don't know what ride or car number that is. We'll find out down the road. But basically, the two-time regular series champion is back in the Xfinity series, and that sounds like bad news for those who want to get wins in the road courses and intermediates next year, but it's a different team, of course, since that time in 2022 to 2024. So we'll start with Bree and then Brooklyn, because Bree, you obviously have been wheel to wheel, not literally wheel to wheel, but you've been against these guys in the past. And what do you think of AJ going back to the Xfinity series full time, knowing what he can do in those cars?
I think it's just a statement from colleagues simply saying, you know, like, obviously everybody knows what AJ can do and how he can wheel a car. And colleague wants to win, and maybe they just think their best chances for a championship in this current situation and the way things are in the series with all these growing teams and new teams and stuff. Maybe they just feel that the Xfinity series is right for him and right for the team as far as progressing their Xfinity program. As we know, I think AJ will be a dominant driver next year.
With AJ, I just love his work ethic. He's just a driver who I feel like everybody just knows. I mean, every week he's putting in the work. I mean, you can just almost like see it with him. And I love the relationship he and colleague have, that they were trusting with each other enough to say, hey, whatever AJ said, whatever they need. And they put him in a position where he was going to excel.
Yeah. They trust. The trust there is clearly huge for AJ to be able to say that. And then colleague be like, all right, this is what we're doing. And that's what they're doing.
And he's brutally honest too. He'll tell you, well, in his words, he'll tell you when the car sucks. And they like to hear that, you know, because they have to know, even if that's brutal to hear for the guys and girls at the shop. But that's often why I think AJ often says, hey, the men and the women at the shop, thank you for all you do and all that, because he wants to give them their best chance to be top performers, not just showing up to the racetrack, unloading the hauler, and that nothing happens. And we often saw early, you know, throughout 2023, how frustrated he was getting in the Cup Series. I mean, I interviewed him after the Texas race when he wrecked out, not of his own doing. He was running in the lead lap towards the top 15. And I asked him flat out, I was like, hey, man, you know, I mean, I know it's not the finish you're looking for, but is there anything encouraging about this? And AJ, and you know this Bree with him, AJ was just like, there's nothing to be gained from this, especially when you wreck out. It sucks. And I was like, okay, bro. Cool. So yeah, I know how it is for him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him race in Xfinity. And also, too, I'm sure he wants to spend some more time with his son, Aero James, who he'll have some more times on Sundays to hang out with him, to be a dad, and make sure he and Tara, you know, certainly spend some time with their little one and Chicken Nugget and Xena, of course, as well. So looking forward to that. And I'm sure AJ, when he sees me in the Xfinity Series garage next year, he will have some new insults for me, which I'm ready for. I love it. He'll probably call me out in the press conference like he did last year. So,
bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. And if you know, you know. I don't know the acronym off the top of my head. I'm too old to know that. Well, here's a topic that I think is going to stir the pot, if you will, for podium perspectives. And this one's kind of a Brooklyn and I have been talking about this, because Brooklyn's all about marketing and NASCAR concerns, and I am in a unique position where I can talk about the old and the younger crowds. But anyways, on his Sirius XM radio show towards late November, early December, Joey Logano, two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, basically said that NASCAR fans are spoiled and that they have the greatest access in the world to meet them on a weekend basis. He doesn't know what more can be improved to make the experience better. And I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong answer to this. That's why we have opinions. So We'll start with Brooklyn because I know she's been wanting to talk about this for the longest time. And then Bree, you have the unique perspective, of course, of being a Picker member and seeing people who flock to even you to, you know, talk racing. And you're probably like, I just want to eat my Oreo cookie right now. So I'm just curious to hear, you know, each of your opinions on this, and I'll chime in.
Yeah. So I will agree with him, with Joey. Compared to other sports like the NFL and MLB, yes, NASCAR fans are spoiled, right? Because if you go to a football or baseball game, I mean, it's very rare that you meet your favorite player, right? So I don't think I can necessarily disagree with him on that front if you're at the track, right? Because it takes being at the track to meet your favorite drivers, and like doing specific things. So what I would like to see, and this is kind of maybe a little different spin on what he said, and then I'll kind of loop back, but what I would like to see happen in general for the fans, and even to create new fans, this is kind of going back to the streaming, bringing in a different demographic, we could bring in different fans and kind of have even more access if we were doing, I know there are some podcasts, but if we were doing more podcasts, if we were, Ryan Blaney just won the Cup Championship. He could have hosted SNL. He could have been on Jimmy Fallon. Like, yes, he was on Kelly and Mark, but we could have done a lot more for the exposure. And whether you want to call that, that's not really access, but I think exposure and access kind of go together. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, you don't just go to an NFL game or an MLB game and just be walking around like the concessions or whatever. You know, I'm not walking through their locker room. I'm not walking through their dugout, as, you know, fans get the opportunity to walk through the garages, wait by the media center doors, walk around pit road and, you know, catch a glimpse in a hay and a picture from their driver. You know, that's not happening at these stick and ball sports. But as far as spoiled, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just what it's always been. So I've never really looked at it and been like, wow, these fans just get so much access and they're just so spoiled. I think that's what makes the sport fun and helps the sport grow and helps people get excited for it. So like, as for me, you know, when I get to bring my family and stuff and friends who aren't necessarily fans, I'm able to give them that access where they can be 5 feet from a driver and they can be right up on the tires and pit wall and stuff. And then that's like, now they're fans, right? They keep up with the sport. They look into the sport now because they had that access. And so I wouldn't say that it's them being spoiled. Maybe it's a really cool privilege that NASCAR offers, but also it's not for everybody. Doesn't get that opportunity as well. Like it's, like we said, the access to the drivers, you have to be at the track, but you also have to buy your way to the track, get your lodging when you stay at the track, buy your pit passes, your garage passes, whatever it may be. And so the access isn't just like handed out for free, in a way that would make anybody spoiled. So I don't know. I think I love the way that, you know, the access our fans do have in NASCAR. But to say they're spoiled, I don't know, because I know like in NHRA, I think if you buy a pass, a ticket, like a grandstand ticket, that's also a pit pass as well. I think with that ticket, you get to go check out the garages and stuff. So I don't know.
That's true.
What, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think the heart of what I'm trying to say, I think, is there's definitely a lot of access, right? But I want like more exposure that will lead to a different type of access.
Yeah, like blow Ryan Blaney up, you know, his face should be everywhere. Yeah.
Yes. We should not have been able to escape his face for weeks.
Right. Like not regular people.
Yeah. Same with Ben Rhodes and Cole Custer. I mean,
I agree. Yeah.
And the funny thing about this whole thing is that they're probably the most personable champions we've ever had in the last maybe 3 to 5 years. And nobody knows about them. I mean, we three know about them, obviously, but like, I don't know. Susie in Boston doesn't know about them. Or Eric in Nevada has no clue that Stone Cold Cole Custer won the championship in Xfinity. And he's probably the most, like, hilarious dude to watch, like, shooting some, like, shotgunning some beer after his championship victory. I don't know what that means, but.
One of my examples that I gave you, Rob, with Ryan, I was like, he should have hosted SNL, and all these things. He should have been on the Bobby Bones show. He actually was last week. As soon as I heard he was going to be on there, I was like, well, dang it. Like, one of my examples was like, so they did hop on that train, but.
No, you have a point, though. I mean, they need to be on SNL. That's what young folks watch. I mean, I was young once, and I happened to catch the episode Jeff Gordon was on. I didn't know he was going to be on it, and I was so shocked to see he had a personality. And I think that he'd be a fit for that show. He'd love to make fun of himself if he could. So, I mean, I know what you're trying to say with the twist to the question. We should see the personalities of these drivers, because that's what people complain about. And I'm just like, no, they're not boring. They're actually pretty cool. Like,
you get to meet them. Yeah, they're very cool.
Yeah, we can't just base them off of interviews that you see on TV or radio. I mean, obviously, it's like if you interview me at my work from 8 to 4 Central Time, I'm probably the most boring person in the world. I'm sorry, I'm focused on my job. But you get me after work, and I'm a lot of fun, and that's what these drivers are like too. I mean, Ryan Blaney, of course, has a personality. I know this because he sword fought Emma Blaney on our show 12 years ago. Literally, folks, he was fighting her in their RV. I wish I had the video. We didn't have that back then. But you could hear Emma saying, ouch, Brian, stop. And this is literally before he got into his Xfinity car at Kentucky Speedway. So, I mean, we've got to get these people out there. And not just the drivers. I want to see the pit crew folks. I mean, we did see that with Brianna in 2019, actually, on Good Morning America. Not the main GMA, but, like, the one after the primary morning version of the show. Like, the was it GMA 3 or something like that? I think
you were in. Sarah and Strahan.
That's right. And folks got to probably know you from that one segment. And they probably approached you at the racetrack afterwards and thought, holy crap, you met Michael Strahan, or you were doing this. And my daughter, you know, loves cars. And she didn't know that there's women changing tires. You know, like that kind of stuff. I don't know if that happened to you necessarily, but, you know, I'm sure there was a little bit of, what's the word I want to say? I don't want to say celebrity, but there was a bit of an appeal to what you did because of that appearance, right?
Right, yeah. I think exposure is huge because, like, say, somebody being on SNL, you know, that there's probably millions of people watching it that can relate to this person. And so they're like, oh, I want to follow this person. I want to see what this person is doing. And then the next thing you know, they're watching NASCAR races every Sunday. It's just something as simple as like showing the personality and letting them relate to the people out there that they do relate to. And that's how you build an audience.
And we sorely, sorely need that, because the sport itself is not going to always do the marketing for the drivers. So sometimes the drivers have to go and take advantage of these opportunities. I mean, I don't know how it works for these teams and how they work with their PR, but like, starting next year, I want to see that. You know, this was the 75th anniversary season, and I feel like we did a good job, but we could have done a better job. marketing this special season because it was a good year. We have great personalities. We have the people. It doesn't necessarily have to be because we have these cool cars or trucks. The people in the sport are just dynamic, and we need to get that exposed out there. So we try to do it in a small-scale TPF Live, but obviously we're not SNL. So I know it'd be cool to... I wish we were that influential. We're trying to get there, folks. But, you know, Bobby Bones' show, obviously that's a big deal. People know about that. Whether you're in Arkansas or New York City, like, his name's a big deal. You know, maybe being on SiriusXM shows besides the ones on NASCAR SiriusXM, you know, I mean, Howard Stern, I'm sure, is still a popular person. Why not have an appearance on that show? Because he gets anybody these days, like musicians and stuff. And doing appearances at other things, like cross promotional stuff. Because I know the music shows are coming back again because of whatever's gone on in Hollywood, and maybe being on shows too, that would be cool. So there's lots of possibilities out there to get them. But to go back to this whole thing, I don't think NASCAR fans are spoiled. You kind of have to know someone to get the access too. That's one thing we don't talk a lot about because we don't want to say, hey, I know this person, so you should contact them on social media and they'll get you a pass. No, that's not what I'm going to do. But it does take someone to know someone to get that access to that somebody that you want to meet. And I get that, but I also kind of want to see, I wish we could be like the NHRA where if you buy a ticket, you literally could go to the garage area. Now, that could be a little dangerous for certain drivers because I'm sure Chase Elliott doesn't want to get mobbed. But at some point, you signed a contract to get to be that celebrity, to have those, as Brooklyn would say, to have those commas in your salary. So, I don't know. I would love to see that engagement, even if that means going to the fan zone and just signing some autographs at the hauler. I mean, that will make someone's day or year forever. Just because for 20 seconds, you're like, what's your name? Oh, okay, great, here's your autographed car. Great. Oh, you want a selfie too? Okay. And then boom, instant memory forever. Like, I don't know. So I don't think we're totally spoiled, but I think we could do a little better. But that's my opinion. It's fun stuff though. I don't know about you folks. What do you think? You should definitely interact with us on social media, of course, because our main handle, whether it's X or Instagram threads, whatever is out there these days, Facebook, we're at the Podium Finish. I'm at Rob Tiongson. For all of those, and I even have a Blue Sky account at last. It's not that special, so you can find me on there if you want to talk NASCAR. And Brooklyn's changed her handle many times, it seems. I think I remember it this time because I actually pay attention, unlike most men, because I actually do have a good attention span. Yes, I'm insulting dudes. Anyways, Brooklyn's social media handle is BR00KYLY. Oh, goodness gracious, I can't spell. BR00KLYNJAKCKS. Wow, I'm a journalist. I maybe you NMP folks should not award me any prizes next year. No, I want to win.
I just want to say the people should thank me for changing it because it was a bunch of random numbers before that.
It was. I was like, what is the purpose of this? Are you like some Easter egg on X?
Literally, that's the one Twitter gave me. And for a few weeks, it wouldn't let me change it. And I was like, no, like Elon, help. And finally, one day it let me. And I was like, thank you, Elon.
I'm a real person, I swear.
Yeah, I know. I know, because when I used to tell people her handle, they were like, are you an AI bot? Because we hope you're not turning to that kind of outlet. I'm like, I can assure you, we're not essential esports. But yeah, no, that's her handle. And that's the same for her ex, her Instagram one. It's something else, but give us a follow. Talk to us. We want to hear from you. Oh yeah. And Brianna also is on the social media and she has more followers than both of us combined, of course.
No, I don't know about that, but... All my handles, I think, are probably something different for every social media. Whoops. Didn't think about that when I was making it. But my Instagram is literally my initials. It's BNO123. And so I can't change it because I've had it, gosh, for I don't even know how long. And so, like, with it being BNO, people call me Bino. I'm like, oh, so now I can't change it.
Way to go, Beano.
I know, so I'll have to keep it.
Yeah, you have to. Oh, well. Well, give her a follow because there's always interesting content, to say the least. And if she's at your city, she'll probably find the coolest places because I didn't realize how much of Austin I do not know yet still. And I've lived here for 5 years, 6 years now at this point. So... good times, but we're still doing Podium Perspectives before we close out the show because this is now Brianna's time with Real Talk with Brianna. So she's not just dun dun dun. I wish I had a sound effects. I'm not that cool yet. But no, this is a chance for us to catch up with Brianna. I know she's been on the show more times than most drivers, many times as Jeff Gordon and Kyle Larson. So that should tell you something about what we think about you. But this is a chance for us to learn what you've been up to since the start of the year. Because I know when we started the year, you were with Alpha Prime Racing and doing some social media with NASCAR. So why don't you catch us up as to what you've been doing since then?
So 2023 for me looked like I actually started a new position over at Rev Racing, which is NASCAR's developmental arm for race car drivers as well as pit crew members. And that's actually where I started my pit crew career out 7 years ago. So it's kind of a full circle thing that I'm now the strength and conditioning coach for our drivers over at Rev Racing. We just announced our new class, so our 2024 class. I'm excited for them to get in and excited to see some new faces and some returning faces and just grow as a team. And then on top of that, I was, like you said, pitting race cars for Alpha Prime, as well as pitting in the truck series, and then even pitting for Rev Racing and Venturini Motorsports in the ARCA series. Wrapping up that season is always, it's always like an exciting kind of bittersweet thing. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel when season's ending. And now that we've been out of season for, gosh, a month and a half now, it's, you know, we get to the point where we're ready to get a routine going and a schedule going again. I think this year, so this is year seven for me, and year seven was probably like my most favorite year. It was the year that I feel like I can say, like, I could breathe and relax and be like I made it to such a good spot, because pit crew is grueling and it's hard work. And, you know, it's so up and down and back and forth and wishy-washy, and changes happen at the drop of a dime. And so I just had stability this year. And it was just, this year has been, I think, my best year in NASCAR. So I'm hoping 2024 looks even better.
It'll be year number eight, which, yes, I'll say year number eight ought to be great.
Yeah, let's hope so.
There's your little hashtag campaign for your profiles on socials. There we go. Pay me afterwards in steak and fries. But anyway.
Got it.
But I'm sure Brooklyn has some questions because she has done some research about you, and I would like her to take the lead.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So just... not knowing a whole lot about the pit crew world, you've worked with several pit crews. So what does your schedule kind of look like?
A typical like pit crew schedule would be, I mean, I guess during season would usually be like practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings. And then, so for me, like I'm an independent contractor. I, aside from going to practice, like my fitness level and my like workouts are up to me. And so I make sure I go work out, you know, 3, 4, or 5 times a week, because these top pit crew guys, they are practicing their Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then having team workouts Monday through Thursday, watching film Monday. And so I try to keep my schedule like that, because although I am an independent contractor, I still, you know, do the same job they do. So I got to be able to compete.
That yeah, that sounds like you kind of have it down to what works best for you. So how does someone like how what was your journey getting into it?
Getting into NASCAR for me was kind of like a chance opportunity. I was playing softball at Alcorn State University, and then I went on to be the graduate assistant for the strength and conditioning coach there. So then at that point, I was working with all the athletes in the weight room. And NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program with Coach Horton came to Alcorn, and they were kind of recruiting former college athletes, because obviously, you know, like the pit crew went from mechanics to, you know, all athletes, and they were just looking for athletes to turn into pit crew members. So it was kind of a, you know, do a physical tryout at the university. And then after they finish touring all their universities, they hold a national combine here in Concord. And I was selected to come to that national combine based on the physical tryout. And then from that combine, they selected 10 of us to move out and train. And I was selected out of those 20 to come. And this was back in 2016. So my journey in NASCAR wasn't planned. It wasn't envisioned. It was never a thought in my mind. I didn't come as a NASCAR fan or a racing fan by any means. So my journey in NASCAR came through college sports, really.
Yeah, college sports and hard work.
Yeah, and being in the right place at the right time, I will say that. So
yeah. What are some of your favorite memories throughout the past 7 seasons of being in the pits?
Whew. I would say it's funny because like my very first cup race I did was Michigan of like 2018, maybe. I can't even remember. But the only thing I remember really about that whole day, because it was just so crazy, was it had rained. So there was a rain delay. And when we went back to go racing, you know, everybody's starting to shake their stuff off, get ready to go back racing. And somebody was up on the box and was shaking out the canopy because there was water sitting on top. And I happened to be, nobody said, hey, heads up. And so I took a shower and rainwater right before my first cup race. I don't know if that's like one of my best memories, but it's one of my most vivid because it's just funny to look back on and be like, what on earth? And then of course, getting to pit in Daytona with Brianna Daniels, you know, is our first time as a pair getting to go over the wall in a cup race. Mm-hmm. And then going back and getting to do the Daytona 500 2 more times in my career. That was probably 2 more times than maybe I thought I would pit the Daytona 500. So that's always fun. I don't know that either of them ended well. I know when I pit, my years are horrible, 2021. Yeah. You know, our race ended with a big fire in my rear tire. And then honestly, like in all of my 7 years, I think the greatest thing to ever come from this experience is having parents, grandparents come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, like, can we take a picture? I want to show this to my daughter. I want to show this to my granddaughter. Like, I want to let her know, like, she can do this and she can do anything she wants to. And that happens a lot. And I've had like young girls mail letters to the race shop to me. And like out of everything I've done, that has been like my favorite and the most rewarding thing like of this whole experience.
That has to be pretty cool knowing that you're being seen and like having young girls and girls younger than you like looking up to you at that level.
Absolutely.
As a pit crew member, do you have any favorite tracks? Do you have any tracks that you're like, oh, like, do we have to go there?
Yes, I'll tell you right away. The first one is Dover. I don't know what it is about Dover, but I just do not look forward to going there. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because you have to walk so far and it's just rocky trails, half of the back half of pit road and hills, and it's tight. Gosh, I don't know. I just am like, oh, Dover. That's definitely like my first one. Favorite. I love Phoenix. I love the city. I love the area. Like, I have friends out there. And so I probably get the most excited to go to Phoenix, whether it's the spring race or the championship. It's just the vibes. I don't know. They're fun. I want to say Daytona as well, because I've made so many cool memories there. But Daytona just, I don't know, it rains all the time, no matter what race it is. And it makes me crazy. But I love it. It's like a love-hate relationship with Daytona.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have that with Daytona.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say the Texas Motor Speed was going to be one of your favorites too, because it's your home track and politically correct answer, right? No?
Yeah, no, I do love to go there when my nephews get the opportunity to make it out to the racetrack, because that's always special to me as well.
And when we get to sneak you in for Media Center food, because it's gotten better since the last time you were in the Media Center.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, one of the cool things I think about your whole situation going from, you know, softball to NASCAR action is the fact that you had this unique perspective that you said earlier, you're not a NASCAR fan. I think one of my first memories of you was actually at New Hampshire Motor Speedway when you were tasked to change the battery of a truck. And I was just like, I was like, oh my goodness, this is like a huge test, because I'm sure that was not something you had to practice. So was that a bit nerve wracking to be under the pressure of like, oh, I got to get this fixed and done right away and know where this is at?
Yeah, I do remember that. And that was, luckily for us, like when it comes to something like that, you know, we do have a whole team and a crew, and we have people who can handle that. So like, for me, I think my job was to literally like carry the new battery over while somebody changed it, and then I just handed them the battery. So the good thing about a crew is the teamwork involved. And so like, there's always somebody who can pick up the slack for somebody else. So it worked out.
To say, ooh, that would have been a really tough like litmus test where you're just like, you know, I think that was like your first or second year in the sport, because you said this is year number 8 coming up next year. So I was like, that was the first time we met too, and I was like, oh my goodness, why couldn't you just have the quiet race where you just change tires? And
yeah, that truck wouldn't have been running if they would have let me change the battery, I'll tell you that. So yeah.
I don't know. I think you could handle that. But no, I just think your career is so cool. And speaking of Daytona, I mean, everyone who goes to that track often says that when they get underneath that tunnel off of turn 4, that the hair in their arm stands up, or they get, you know, butterflies in their stomach because of knowing it's the World Center of Racing. I know that you may have not been a racing fan growing up, but did that place, when you first went underneath that tunnel, did it give you that feeling like, oh my goodness, this is a cathedral to racing?
I don't know that it, you know, it gives me the chills kind of feeling, but even now, you know, 7 years later, when I go back, I'm like, Daytona is still like almost surreal, like, especially at, when the lights are on and it's dark out and, you know, there's fans, because obviously like the Daytona vibes are just crazy. No matter what race it is, people are just excited to be there. The place is huge, you know, it looks good, it's pretty. And so when I am at Daytona, I'm always like, this place is like, this is like the real deal. You know, it's pretty surreal. And I'm like, I really do this. But Daytona definitely gives me that feeling.
I would love to experience that one day, even just to cover one Daytona 500 in my life, just to experience what you have and what so many have with that place. Because for me, it would probably be like going to Fenway Park for the first time. And I don't know, it would just... I've been there, and it even if I go back again, it would still make me excited. So I think that's cool that you've done that. And I know you don't know your plans for next year. We're going to probably find out probably in the next month or two. But, you know, knowing it's your 8th year, and I often ask you this question, so I apologize if this is a repeat, but is there a certain advice, certain things you'd say to your younger self about what you've gotten to experience that you wish you knew before, or you're saying to yourself, let it happen and enjoy the experience?
Yeah, I'd probably tell myself to enjoy it and take it in a little bit more. I spent so much of it at the beginning, especially worrying about what was next and worrying like if this was a waste of my time and worrying if I was even going to make it in the sport. And I would just tell myself, you know, trust the process, trust your hard work. And just, I just know that, you know, everything works out the way it's supposed to. And, you know, yeah, tell myself to enjoy it. Cause there was a lot of worry. And like I said, year seven, I finally feel like I can take a breath. So.
And I'm happy that you could, because this sport is even better because of people like you in it. Professionally speaking, I think you're one of the most dynamic individuals to even be in this sport. And we were talking earlier about, oh, we need personalities, we need all of that. And I want people to know that you are an amazing pit crew, tire changer, and also a great personality for the sport. I think you represent NASCAR to the best it can be. Like when I tell people to watch NASCAR, I often talk about you as one of the best ambassadors for the sport. So I want you to know that.
Oh, thanks.
And of course, personally, you're one of my best friends. I mean, if you hadn't been in the sport, then I don't know, it'd be weird. So I'm happy you're in it for your eighth year. And I mean, you're 16 next year and it's your eighth year. So I've known you for half of the time I've been in this series, which is going to be neat. So I know you're enjoying the off season, but I'm sure, like you said, you're looking forward to getting back on that routine. And what does it look like typically when you know your plans, like the earliest that you start to go practice at the shop again?
January 2nd, we're back at it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it would. So January 2nd, I think it's a Tuesday. That's when everybody gets right back to it.
No off season at all, folks. You hear that? Brianna just gets back to work, so she can't get too hardy on New Year's Day, because it's back to, you know, training camp, if you will, in baseball terms, on Tuesday, January 2nd. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Do you have Brooklyn? Do you want to be a tire changer now?
I think I am way too small.
Oh, no, the one lug tires now, so the cup tires are really light. They're like 45 pounds.
That's really light?
Okay.
Well, when you go, yeah, the five lugs, you know, are like 55, 60 pounds. So then you go, you drop 15 pounds and you're like, wow.
So I hope you get to do the cup series more often then, so you can enjoy that for sure. Because the one time I helped a team was many, many, many years ago before I was media. And I'll tell you, I almost screwed up the pit stop for that team. So I was like, that's it for me. I'm good. Whoops. I was like, they just wanted me to roll the tire to the pit stalls. Like, nope. I was like, oh my God, this is so heavy. And I watched you do it at that very same track 4 years later. I was like, yeah, you have twice my upper body strength. I'm pretty weak. I'll let you do it. Oh my goodness. But oh man, we were looking forward to 2024. And that's why we're just like counting down to the off season. Then I know you're getting back to work soon, and but us journalists, we're just looking forward to talking about racing again and being at the track, and we're just looking forward to that. But I know when fans listen to this, it's going to be holiday season. I know for you know, Hanukkah's going on, Christmas is just less than 2 weeks away, and Kwanzaa's not that far from now. So what are your plans for the holidays?
Mine, I'm going back home, which is Amarillo, Texas. That's where all my family still is. I'm going for about a week. Going to hang out with my boys and hang out with my family and relax before we get right back into it. So,
good old Amarillo skies.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's always fun to have you on our show, as always. And we're probably going to be back in a couple of episodes, because there's a certain centennial mark that we're going to hit. So we'll try to plan that show just after you get back to the shop, so we don't get you all tired from your first day at the shop. But yeah, we'll bring you back. So don't be too much of a stranger between now and then. But for the fans at home, give Brianna a follow. She's awesome. She's my best friend, but she's also a hell of a tire changer and a great ambassador to NASCAR, to say the least. But that was fun to do real talk with Brianna. Maybe we should do that more often, because we love to have real talk on our show. And we'll probably have sound effects next time for that. So just letting you know. But does anyone have any closing thoughts before we wrap up episode number 98?
No.
How about you, Brooklyn.
Hi. Yeah, it was super good to get to talk to you and hear both of y'all's perspectives. But Brianna, your super special perspective from being in the pits. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I'm always glad when I get to share it. It's always fun.
We love having you on for sure. And my closing thoughts really is that people like Brianna and our fans are why we're still going on almost 3 years later with this podcast. And I'm just humbled to know all the friends, the connections I've had and will have, because year number 16 is just around the corner. And we're not going to stop at episode 100. We're going to keep on going to hopefully episode 200. And once we get to 200, we're going to be like Richard Petty, just still out there, but hopefully getting 201 and not, going 8 years without a victory. But anyways, we're so humbled to keep going on with this podcast. So Brianna, I'm sure I'll tell you in on text, but I hope you and your family and all your loved ones have a happy, happy Christmas and holiday season. And we'll see you around for episode 100 just after the New Year's season. But for us, it is time to go ahead and our show on a happy note. So for Brooklyn Jackson and Brianna O'Leary, I'm your host, Rob Tionson, saying thanks so much for joining us on episode number 98 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour racing talk. Tune in next week for our last live show of 2023. It's going to be a bit of a tearjerker for you folks, but it's a good one because we'll bring in our friend, Peyton Lanphier, to tell her story of what she's been through for the last year and a half. It'll definitely be quite raw, so hope you have your loved ones and friends around to listen to it. It is a really good, heartwarming interview, to say the least. But until next time, folks, as I always like to say, let's all go get the checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everybody.